reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt. For they broke my covenant, and I had to show myself their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they have need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord. All, from least to greatest, shall know me, says the Lord. For I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. Verbum Domini. Reading from the letter to the Hebrews. In the days when Christ Jesus was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Verbum Domini.
Praise our Lord. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii Secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder. But others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. Verbum Domini.
Laus tibi Christe.
St. Francis of Assisi was such a holy man. And one of the ways he became holy was by meditating on the life of Jesus Christ. And through this meditation, he wanted to be like Jesus Christ and live every moment of his life. And so St. Francis so marveled at the life of Jesus from his infancy to his death on the cross. But it was right there at the death, at seeing the cross, there he was struck by the love of Jesus. Because there Jesus, who is crucified, is giving to us perfect charity. And Jesus giving to us this perfect charity, which would save, which would redeem the world. He's doing this so unselfishly and with nothing, with poverty. And so Francis strove to imitate and emulate the actions of the crucified Lord. There he wanted to be poor like Jesus, both materially and, of course, in spirit. And through this, he began to die to himself, you know, that he would live a whole life in poverty, in prayer, and in penance. He understood that dying to self meant rising to life again. That what this means is dying from everything that separates us from the love of Jesus Christ. And this is what we are all to be aspiring toward during this Lenten season, that we die to what separates us from Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be much more radiant, and so that we can live more of a life like his, that we could make the life of Jesus Christ our own. And here in this gospel passage today, Jesus is communicating to us that it is now his hour. The time has come for him to be glorified. And yet this is contrary to the way the world knows what glory is to be. The world sees glory as prosperity, as popularity, as power. And yeah, there can be some goods that come out of that. But the glory Jesus speaks about is the glory of his death, of his suffering. And that doesn't sound so glorious. But the glory, this glory, what this glory is his charity. And as Jesus is speaking here, he has the people listening to him kind of confused, a little bewildered. So what is he saying here? You know, he says that it is the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, in their understanding, in the Hebrew people would think back to Daniel chapter 7 when it speaks about the Son of Man, and that there would be liberty from some of those who were pursuing Israel. You know, that these nations or people, such as the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, you know, they were considered to be very very savage type of conquerors, you know, out of control. You know, and that's the way like animals. And that is the way the book of Daniel describes them. But yet there would be a Son of Man who would come and wipe them out. You know, that he would come and bring calm. And so now they're hearing, well, Son of Man, you know, here he is to be glorified. But yet, then Jesus later on says that he will be raised up. That he was speaking about his passion, the hour of his suffering. And so now, they're a little bit, of course, what is this here? No. But as we see in Jesus here, is that we see perfect love, but perfect obedience. Now, in the days of old, those times of the Old Testament, you know, the words of the prophets. You know, and we look over there at some of the righteous figures there, Abraham, Isaac, you know, Moses, David, for example. You know, these were people, righteous people, leaders of Israel. But yet, we see them falling. We see them not always living the commands, especially when they're under either pressure, when they're in danger, or when they're tempted. Many times they fell short. And then we see also that when these people did sin, they would make these sin offerings. They would do this to atone for their sins, that they'd bring an animal, and their best animal, something that was without spot or blemish. You know, as something like the most pure and perfect looking animal. No, and then they would offer this as a holocaust. It would be a bloody sacrifice. And this bloody sacrifice, this holocaust, this burnt offering, would the purpose for this would be to atone for their sins. And so God would see this as pleasing. But yet this was not enough. We were in need of a Savior. And so Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, he comes in human form. And is obedient. And by Jesus, who is pure, who is obedient to the Father from the beginning of his life to his death on the cross, the purest obedience, the purest love, a heart that is spotless, a mind that is spotless, and with every pure intention to love the Father and to obey him. And so Jesus teaches us this perfect obedience. He goes before us. He goes in substitution for us. And Jesus, now that he is in a human form, human body, he knows what human life is like. He knows how the body reacts to things, what the body longs for. He knows the appetites of it. No, he knows pain. And because he's so pure, he's so sensitive to everything and to everybody's suffering. And yet, having this, he's able to overcome every evil, every sin through his love without sinning, without falling short as those holy people or righteous men could not do in the past. But now he becomes an offering. He is the victim. He is the sacrifice, giving himself. And Jesus, now he is saying that he is troubled here because he knows the amount of excruciating pain and torture he must endure. But yet he says that the Father will be glorified because of the tremendous love that he will give in this suffering. And so here is Jesus. Here he goes. He goes, he is lifted up on the cross, this pure sacrifice. And then he dies only to rise again. But being that this sacrifice is so pure, is that it would and so full of love, that it would forever be perpetuated. And that through this holy sacrifice, it could be represented. And that through the love of Jesus, through the shedding of his blood, that forever we would receive life. We would receive the forgiveness of sins. And then we see this represented in the sacraments. The church says that the sacramental grace comes from the wounded side of Christ. It flows there. And so here we would have a true encounter in the representation of his saving act that is forever perpetuated because it is so full of the perfect charity, love himself, Jesus Christ. And so this would brings us salvation. This grants us our eternal inheritance, grace. The grace that this inheritance gives us is the very life and love of Jesus Christ himself. And there with him, there beginning with this grace, we can now have eternal life and experience this eternal life both in this life and in the next. All of this through the saving action of Jesus Christ, by his obedience to the Father. And so here we are. You know, we too should always marvel, like St. Francis, who would look upon the cross of Jesus would look upon this love he has for us, that he would overcome evil, sin, death, all the pressures of the world, so that we could have life. And we see this, of course, yes, in the life of St. Francis, but in all the other saints as well, by their willingness to die to self. And dying to self, of course, detaching from the things that separate them from God, but dying to self meaning that they put others first, that they become true servants as Jesus comes to serve and not to be served. See, this should be our greatest longing and desire, to live as Jesus Christ, to let nothing get in our way of doing the will of the Father, of being obedient to him, and to serving in the likeness of Jesus Christ. This should be the fire that burns within us. He says, well, it's hard. Of course it's hard. No, Jesus first, he wants our heart. No, this life, this living eternal life, living like Jesus, it is a process. You know, we are to grow. No, we can look at the this is why it's important to look at Jesus on the cross, because we can look at it, look at our life next to his. Hey, we got a long way to go. See, this is what St. Francis knew as well, is that I got a lot to do, you know? But yet that shows us that the infinite, the immeasurable amount of love of God for us and for himself. And so wherever we're at, spiritually, wherever we're at in the world, even if we're away, Jesus invites us to himself, to a communion, a sacred union, a bond with him, so that we know the true purpose, the true meaning of our life. And this is true happiness. This is what true holiness is all about. So Jesus now, he invites us, he takes us where we're at. It begins with our hearts. And it is a life of growth, but it is a life where he is truly with us to help us on our journey. So now we, as especially in this time when we're here at the Holy Mass, know here is the representation of Calvary, the grace that is to come upon us, Jesus' saving action for love of us, so that we, by receiving his body and blood, that we can have life. And so here we offer ourselves, we offer our intentions. And that there, and that here is the saving act, here is he represented, and here we are receiving, so that, hey, now we can rise with him because we have been nourished by his body, his blood, his real presence with us. So give yourselves to the Lord. Ask for his help, surrender it all to him, and he will give us true life, eternal life. God bless you all.